Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Heal Your Wounds, coming from Edinburgh, the Festival Fringe. Straight to your ears. My name is Elliot, the producer. Please put your hands together for your host. He's your friend, not mine. It's Mr. Sean McLaughlin.
Is that the intro? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Should we do a proper intro or should we just leave it as this?
It's up to you.
What were you talking about before I got in?
I'm just saying hello, welcoming everyone in a very professional manner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like a plum, really.
Can I have that?
No, you can't have that. All right, now we're definitely doing a new one. The audience don't know what that is.
I want it.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening.
Or good night.
Evening covers that.
Does it?
In my eyes.
What if these freaks are listening to it at 3 a.m.?
It's morning.
Not if they haven't gone to bed yet.
Welcome. If you've listened before, you're used to this kind of nonsense. If you haven't, I'm Sean McLaughlin. I'm the host of the show. Thank you for listening. Alongside my erstwhile companion, lover, fighter, climber, wanker.
I'll love for you. I'll fight for you. I'll climb upon you.
And what will you do when you've climbed upon?
Have a lovely time.
It's Elliot. How are you, Elliot?
Oh, I am smashing, mate. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Excellent. In the listeners' ears, the fringe is over. But in our time, you're still going through it.
The fringe isn't over.
Yeah, it is.
This is coming out on the last day. Is it?
No, the fringe is over, mate.
Oh.
Oh, you've gone through some terror, haven't you? How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're battling through.
We're still at the Edinburgh Fringe. Mm-hmm. This is our second of our... I mean, I guess they're all live episodes because we are live.
This is happening right now.
It's happening right now. Right now.
We're on the phone to you, listener.
Listener, we're outside your bedroom. Don't tell your parents. We'll be cool. No, just touch it down there, bro. I'm sore. Elliot looks very disgusting. I woke up about 10 minutes before we started recording.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if I'm in a good position to host. Mm-hmm. We got great guests today. Our regular co-host or co-guest, Phil Gerrard, is going to be back on the show soon.
Sir Phil of the House Gerrard, he will return.
Why are you talking like that? There's something in my flat that I'm living in that reminds Elliot of the intro to Game of Thrones. I've never watched Game of Thrones, listeners, because I've been too busy going out there and,
kissing girls.
Making shit happen.
Well, for those of you who enjoy Game of Thrones...
I don't think any of our listeners
who might
even know what a television is.
One or two of you, if you watch Game of Thrones on your wireless, the introduction, the theme tune bit, there's like a sun inside loads of rings and they're all spinning around. Sean's got it on his shelf and it's wasted on him because he hasn't even watched... All he does is watch Star Trek.
Well, that's... Well, there's one of those in Star Trek, ATM.
What's that?
I'm just not good with abbreviations.
The Next Generation, is that
true? Yeah, BYOB. Uh-huh. But, FYI, I think that...
No, fuck you! What?
I think we must have a name. I think it's like an old school compassy thing.
It looks like it
That's
must,
not from Game of Thrones.
It must tell the time or be a map of some kind, right?
I think it's how people used to tell the stars and where the planets were. I think each of those rings is one of the planets in the solar system.
Do you think?
Count them.
Well, it must be something, because they've got a giant version of it in the Citadel, don't they, Sean?
What's the Citadel?
Oh, my God. It's where all the maesters go to learn how to be a maester, all right? Samwell Tarly's been there all season.
What season are we on Game of Thrones? It seems like Game of Thrones is always on. It seems like there's always a new series either being advertised or being on.
It's on for, at most, 10 weeks a year, this year, 7. Maybe not even at all next year.
Are you serious? Is that only been off? How many episodes are there each season?
10.
10,
but this,
really,
this year 7
to a non-fan,
call them Game Boys.
What? Who?
Fans of Game of Thrones.
Is that what you call them? Is it?
Yeah, Game Boys. Ugh, what's that noise you just made?
You forced it out of me. And trust me, many of the listeners would have just made it.
So you think it's on too much?
Well, no, I don't think it's on too much, but it feels like it's on all the time. Feels like it's always on. Feels like everyone's always talking about it on Facebook and on. I see adverts for it on Sky.
Yeah.
Basically, it feels like the football season.
I get that.
If I'm a football fan, you're not a football fan. So it must feel for you like football is just always on. But the thing is, football is always on.
Football
Game
is always
Thrones
on.
Game of Thrones isn't even always on.
No.
That's nuts. Yeah. Anyway, What can I say? I'm delighted that you've seen something that makes you like.
I'm going to have that.
Is that a box of Bran flakes? Is it, they have stuff like that in Game of Thrones?
They do have a character called Bran.
They genuinely?
Yeah.
Are you fucking with me? There's a character called Bran.
There's a character called Bran. There's a character called Brandon. There's a character called Bron. This is Bran. Bran flakes. Bran of the House Flakes. What else have you got in here?
Do they have a Nintendo 64 on there? They have a character with 64 dojos. What do you think of that?
I feel like you're not taking this seriously. So
I'm taking it serious, don't worry. Mm-hmm. What about that coffee maker up there? Do they have one of them?
Yeah, they do, actually.
They're building upstairs again. Just in time for the podcast.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Reese James is the guest today, Sean.
What did you just say?
Reese Guest is the James today, Sean.
Reese Guest is the James. Phil Gerard is the Gabe.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Two funny people.
Yeah.
I'm super tired. Barely slept last night.
You're funny as well. I say three. Three funny people.
You're funny.
Four funny people.
Yes. It's going to be good. What can I say? We're in the swing of things. Mm-hmm. We know how to butter our bread podcast-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We know how to get that bread out of the bag.
Mm. Suck the sweet bread all the way out.
Punch it in. Ugh. And then you rip it out.
Let it know who's boss.
Get some flint.
Just gnaw on it.
Get some batali. Mm-hmm. Get there, rub it on there. Mm-hmm. And then spread it in there. And then eat it up.
You suckle it in your...
Yes.
Yeah. Taste those valley olives in that Bertolli spread.
Valley
olives in that Bertolli spread. Oh, we've gone mad. I'm so goddamn tired.
This could be a really weird episode.
My hostel's keeping me... I can't... Should we just go?
Oh, no. We need to talk about your hostel. Should we do that on the outro?
Yeah.
All right.
What a madcap European adventure that will become.
Yes. Listen out towards our bit at the end, because Elliot has given me a hint of what's been happening in his hostel that he's staying with.
Nightmare. Social nightmare.
And it's... enjoy the main show, guys. Thank you so much.
Brad. Well, I went to the show with you the other night. I was there with you. We held each other tight. You looked into my eyes and said, I'm leaving you. You walked away and left me wondering, what am I to do? Ticket stub. Ticket stub. All that's left of our love.
Welcome to the main section of the show, everyone. That's such a bad intro.
Oh, God.
Do you need a hype up?
No, I don't. I'm all right. Okay, we're here. It's the main bit of the show. Elliot's arrived.
Uh-huh, yep. All good.
All good. Uh-huh. No funny business has happened.
No.
Regular co-guest for our Edinburgh shows, Phil Gerard is here.
Hello.
My housemate.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. You've been using that wok today.
Yeah, nothing you can't cook in a wok. I've found, anyway. You look very tired today.
I am very tired. I only got about 4.5 hours sleep. And then I woke up, and 10 minutes later, Elliot was at my front door. We were setting up, and then I got a beard trimmer delivered.
Yeah.
And then I got a delivery of a guest who brought his two housemates. The guest is Reese James.
Hello.
And the two housemates were...
Don't smack your lips at me. What kind of intro is that? What kind of welcome is that? Sass.
Well, you brought Adam Hess
and
Mark Smith.
Yes.
Who some of our listeners may remember from the lairiest episode of Heal Your Wounds.
The basis of the wounds.
Yes.
They insisted on coming. They got nothing to do with me. They said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to deliver milk to a poor, lonely man who's demanded it from me. You did text me before the show saying, make sure you bring some milk with you.
I said, please, please can you bring some milk? Because we're out.
Be relevant to the podcast.
It's not a milk podcast. But I don't know at what point you thought I wanted three bottles of milk, all of different...
Look, you told me you wanted semi-skimmed. You didn't say which size, okay? I didn't want to get it wrong.
It's a good point.
I didn't want to get it wrong.
All right.
I know that you've got a short fuse, Sean. I wanted the medium milk.
How much do you think I would have flipped out if I didn't have the right amount of milk?
I mean, there's no telling how much. You flipped out a lot the fact that Adam and Mark were here.
Well, I did flip them out. I did flip out.
They did come in. I mean, it was an explosion of banter.
It was absolute bulldozer. Yeah. Mark Smith was wearing a cap. Yeah. So you could tell that he was, you know.
It meant business.
He was feeling American.
Well, that's not fair. Phil's got a cap on right now.
Yeah, but I'm more sort of lonely sex offender with this cap on rather than sort of a marriage trucker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, no. Mark's a sex offender. I mean, Mark's 100%. No,
Mark, but he's a gregarious sex offender.
Yeah, see, but he's out. He's, yeah, he's,
Mark,
like, he's
the sort of sex offender where everyone would go, oh, my God, really? I'm the sort of sex offender where they'd go, of course, of course.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So what happens then? So we're here in Edinburgh again. What happens? Explain.
My flat's 10 minutes away from here.
Good to know.
Who are you living with? You're living with
Adam Hess.
Adam.
And Tom Walker. You know Tom Walker?
From Australia. Yes. Yeah. Very funny guy.
Very funny. And he just bought a trumpet. Perfect. Now I'm trying to stay out of the flat as much as possible. Yeah. But because Adam is a trumpet, and now Tom's bought one, it's a disaster. They said, where are you going? Mark was just here for a couple of days and he was around. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to do Sean's podcast. And they said, great. Started putting on their shoes. Then they were demanded to come with me. And what they wanted to do is just arrive at the door, because knowing that you'd have the Vietnam flashback you did have when you saw them, that you'd open the door, see them and just go, oh, no. And Adam, I think, wanted you to do a very gregarious opening and go, what's up? Oh, God.
Well, Adam,
which you never would have done.
Well, Adam does have a heightened expectation of who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Like, I walk around like Chandler Bing. What's up? Yeah.
But they also... So they knew that you'd ask me to get milk. So what Adam wanted to do was to buy some milk. You open the door and then he pours it out in front of you. And then we imagined you there with your tongue under it with a cup of tea, trying to just get whatever bits you can.
That's really good. No! How do you think I live? How do you think I live?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
This place and you made fun of me from talking about the devil or something.
You kept banging on about the devil wearing all black. Also... Where's this flat so nice?
What do you mean?
How do you get to be
properly
so lucky?
Lucked out, yeah.
We didn't luck out. It was my skill and bargaining.
Yeah, bargaining. You bargained him up 200 quid.
Tell me what happened.
Well, no, it's just... It was
the very, very last thing, wasn't it? Late in the day.
It was pretty late in the day.
And I mean, it's only a one-bedroom flat, so we have to spoon. But other than that, the cabin in the kitchen is lovely and it's got a nice garden.
It's got a garden and also it's...
Is it genuinely a one-bedroom flat?
Yeah.
I'm staying in the living room, but there's a sofa bed.
He stays in... The living room is creepy as fuck. It's just like he's a bed and two rocking chairs facing the bed.
And there's a painting of Phil in there.
There's a painting of me in there looking at him.
Oh, my God.
Which took me a long time to sort out before getting...
And you paid 200 extra quid for that painting of
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely,
yeah.
It looks directly at his bed as well. It's awesome.
It's got those two eye holes like in Scooby-Doo. Yeah. And then you're on the other side and you're watching.
It's just me watching him sleep. There's a special corridor around the back.
So he might as well be in the bedroom then.
You might as well.
The bedroom's free.
Yeah, it's a different sort of frisson though, isn't it?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you need the atmosphere. Yeah.
Nothing creepy about this, guys. Thanks for coming on the show.
So why did you... How did you end up paying an extra 200 quid?
I don't know how he did. No, because it was sold as a one bed, but they said one or two bedrooms, which I thought clearly meant that they were up for people staying in that sofa bedroom as a bedroom. And I said, oh, there's two of us. And he said, all right, I'll talk to the guy. I think he only added £100, wasn't it? 200?
Oh, yeah, okay. I can't remember. But I remember it made me funny that it went up. It's fantastic bartering.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a great guy. The guy loved me.
He did love you.
He absolutely adored me.
The thing that was scary
because
you
wanted to give him more cash for no reason.
Do you know what, Rhys James? I need some more respect. You're probably the most reluctant guest we've ever had on this show. And let me tell you, that is saying something. I've never heard anyone.
There must be people who've just out and out said no. I just kept saying, ugh. And then I kept saying yes and then cancelling on the day.
Most people are polite enough to at least come on the show. Most people are selfless enough to come on the show and help me out.
But you admit they only come here out of politeness.
I would say...
I'm here out of guilt.
We've had three people who've ever come on this show who've actually wanted to be on the show. I do not count myself in that three.
Who are those three?
I'm not in it either.
No.
Elliot?
Not even paying attention.
Well. The three witches of Macbeth. Alive and well in modern day Edinburgh.
I mean, it's pretty clear why I was reluctant.
What do you mean? Why is it clear?
That thing you just said about Macbeth. What was that?
What do you mean, what was that?
I'm supposed to enjoy Macbeth. That, am I?
It's a pop culture reference.
Just trying to think of something else from Macbeth. I don't know, God Almighty.
Are you trying to tell me? Are you fucking kidding me? Are
what?
You fucking kidding me? You love English. You love words. That's you. That's the thing.
No, I love the English. I'm very insistent about that. I love the English and no one else.
And the swear words.
Yes.
Because you kind of brand yourself as kind of a young, hip wordsmith.
I mean, he is young.
He can't brand himself as old.
I mean, like, I can't brand myself
how young
as young.
I mean, how old are you?
I'm not I'm not that young.
Well, how old are you?
26.
You're 26? All right, well, so yeah, you're what?
How old are you?
You're 16 years older than Elliot, for example.
I'm a little boy.
How old are you?
25.
Pathetic.
He's not 20. He's just
pathetic
saying that.
Pathetic to have a 25-year-old in this room.
He's just saying it just so he can get served.
How old are you, Sean?
29. So yeah, right. There's not much difference between us. Yeah, you view me as a father figure, Reese.
Deadbeat dad.
Yeah, he's your deadbeat dad. Sure, you're looking to avoid.
If you were my father figure, I would be long dead. Pathetic. Do you want kids?
See, listeners are now going to know. They're going to go, oh yes, Reese obviously does hang out with Mark and Adam because they were this rude to Sean as well.
Would you like kids? Let's have a serious discussion. All right,
let's talk kids, guys. Let's talk squirts. Sprogs, I'm probably on the fence. I'd rather not have Sprogs.
Right, why not?
Yeah, I don't like them.
Do you want kids?
Yeah.
Kids? You want kids?
I'll have kids.
Yeah.
If I have to have kids, I'll have kids.
You will have children. Reese James will have children.
Got ideas for names?
I don't think it's
middle
fair.
Names. Got ideas for middle names?
Oh God, here we go.
Yes, here we go. Middle names, boy. What's your middle name, Reese?
I'm not telling you. I refuse to tell you. It's a private issue for me.
What is your middle name?
I'm not telling you my middle name.
What do you mean? Is it a private issue?
You're not a second cousin at a wedding. We don't need to go through this.
I don't know what sort of weddings or cousins you have.
I'll tell you my middle name. I don't care.
What's your middle name?
James. Middle name James Crew.
Your surname James Crew. They're not quite there.
It's not even my real name, though.
I know it isn't.
You're Reese Jones.
Yeah.
Reese Bin Laden.
Yeah, it's
Reese. Is your middle name Hussein?
It's William. And that's
William?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Are you glad you asked?
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's
yeah.
A good middle
why
name.
Is it, why
are you feeling good?
It's a strong middle name.
Why are you named William?
I don't know.
I've never asked.
You're not after anybody.
Why don't you find out?
I know why I'm called Reese.
Why?
It's because of a baby that was snatched in Neighbours called Reese, genuinely. My
mum always
says,
really?
A baby snatched in Neighbours called Reese, and she went, that's a good name.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. William, I don't know. Must have been a baby snatched called William.
Well, there's probably been
a couple.
You'd imagine so. There's a lot of babies snatched here every day. Thanks for listening to the podcast, by the way, everyone. just four guys shooting this shit. Anyway, we're talking baby stragglers.
Yeah.
So you're having a kid, yeah? Because you've got a girlfriend.
Big time.
Big time.
I have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Is that, do you have to talk in such a kind of weird Jay Leno way?
You bet your ass I do. Go on, what do you want to know about my girlfriend? Is it going to be too personal?
No, it's not. It's not. I want to know where you are and if you're going to have kids with her.
Oh, well then yes. I mean, it's far too personal. I don't know.
How long have you been together?
4 years.
Oh, boy. She was a fan of yours. Is that right?
No, not really.
Sorry, that's her.
That's her.
She's just a massive mouse.
That's her scratching away.
No, not really.
Did you meet her at a gig?
No.
Joe Phil's married to a famous singer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Married to?
I'm married to Beck. This is a running joke.
Married to Beck?
I am married to Beck.
Because it's true. But your girlfriend is like a comedy fan? Or was a bit of a comedy fan?
No, not really. Genuinely not really. I'd say she likes comedy a lot less than I do.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, bro.
Not at all. Genuinely not at all. Most shows she goes to see, she is sort of like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the person I'm currently seeing, I know doesn't like my act.
Just your act. Loves comedy.
Genuinely loves comedy.
Huge
and
comedy
just
fan.
Does. I know that she doesn't find me
but
funny.
But that's good, right? That's a good, it's like a safe
It's good a bit.
Opinion,
there are some times where you do want someone to go, you're really brilliant. And not someone to go, Horrible Bosses 2 is better than Horrible Bosses 1. Which she did say to me on one of our first dates.
But why do you... So does she come to gigs and not laugh?
No, she laughs. She's very sweet, very supportive. I just don't think I'm her thing.
Actually, when I go to gigs with my girlfriend, she doesn't laugh that much.
Yeah.
And that means she must not laugh that
She's
much
probably quite nervous, though. You know,
even for me. I mean, like, you know, if we go to other shows.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
I never know. She's not very... doesn't have a very loud laugh.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe how she's... getting away with not laughing at my show, but going, I don't laugh at any. I don't.
I don't laugh. I'm not. There's no joy in my life. There's no joy
in a blanket decision.
Yeah,
to not laugh at anybody.
Your wife's a very good audience member.
She's great. Yeah,
she's great. She really enjoys it. She really enjoys it.
Laughs.
Always signs autographs as well.
She totally does. Yeah, she's very. She's very giving. She's very good.
Yeah, I think it's.
No, she comes to loads of shows and laughs. Yeah, sometimes she's the only one laughing.
Mm. Mm. Only one there?
Only one there, yeah.
Only one there.
But there's actually a little stage in the living room.
Yeah.
Well,
quality over quantity, isn't it, for audiences, famously?
Well, sometimes I've not been saying that to my flyers this year. I've genuinely been saying that. I've got to remember it's quality over quantity, quality over quantity. And they have taken that and they have taken it to the nth degree.
You're packing it out. I saw your audience coming out yesterday.
Yes.
I knew it was your audience because everyone was furious. Everyone was covered in blood and spit and they were all frowning and sort of just like rubbing their heads, their bruised heads.
No, they were bruised because their brains had just grown.
That's why they were bruised.
Because they had grown more intelligent over the hour.
They learnt more about what kind of comedy they like.
Yeah, yeah. A lot more.
What do they,
we've got to check out
them?
Horrible Bosses.
What do you teach them in the show?
I just teach them facts, you know, maths.
I was expecting a specific example. You've got facts and maths.
Facts and maths.
I was teeing you up for something there, Sean. Facts and maths.
I just, look, I don't want to give away too much of the show because...
Does it have a message? There's another message, does it?
Yeah.
What was the message?
What's the message?
Don't start something you can't finish.
Yeah, that's right.
The message is
have a proper meeting with a career advisor early doors. And,
but my audience are at least grown-ups. Reese James famously has an audience of 10-year-olds.
Has your show got a message? I keep on pointing at you.
I think Reese's show has a message, it's probably give up on the Harry Potter books just yet. You're probably not old enough.
No, it's based
on your
tea.
Audience.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, brush your teeth twice a day. Be nice to your mummy and daddy.
Sean's got this insane perception of me.
Yeah,
because I have youthful charm. Sean believes that my audience must all be children.
Are they though?
Absolutely not. Under no circumstances. My show is Elliot, 16 plus.
Elliot, are you a fan of Reese's comedy?
I am.
Well, there
Also a grown man.
No, I'm
an adult man. I've had sex. I've seen Scary Movie 3, and I've got a driver's license. You fucking leave me alone.
Look, one kid does not make an audience. Okay, if Elliot happens to be a tiny little baby who likes me, that's fine. But the rest of the audience are all grown-ups, couples in their 30s, furious at each other.
Your voice.
Furious at their children for being dragged along to it by them.
You think I'm a child because of my little boy voice?
No, I don't.
Reese's got a little boy voice.
You have both got a little boy voice.
I've
you
got
have
a little boy diminutive... voice. Oh, good. Man voice. I've got boy voice. What are you talking about?
Fucking
what are you
hell.
Talking
Reese
about?
James is legitimately rattled at
I'm
this.
A voiceover artist.
For what?
I'm the voice of beer. I'm not joking.
Which beer?
Which beer?
The British Beer Alliance. No, I'm the voice
not.
Of that.
You're the voice
the of... The adverts, genuinely, are all wine is shit and wine is for pussies, drink beer. And I
wow.
am the voice
us,
of it.
Do
I
us,
am.
Do
wait,
us a
wait.
Bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. Please tell us how you got this job at the British Beer Alliance.
10 different scripts.
Right.
And they're all based on, you're not allowed to advertise beer.
Yeah, to children,
as just,
so
as just beer. Yeah, so I'm, no. I mean, I'm in a lot of debt because of the legal fees. No, you're not allowed to advertise beer as just alcohol. As just alcohol, it has to be or something like that. Like beer has to be in line with food. So all these adverts are about food. Or maybe it's just if it's a brand, you can do it because it's the British Beer Alliance. They can't do it.
Just admit that you were making it up.
They were telling me you can find the advert. Find the advert, mate.
All right.
Get yourself on YouTube.co.uk.
Yeah,
and then find it. Search for it. HTTP.
And then what happens in the advert?
It's just me basically like going, another hipster cafe. Probably serving some...
pathetic.
I didn't write the advert. I didn't write the advert.
Are you in it? You're just a voiceover?
Just the voice.
Would you have done it if you were in it?
Depends on the bunts.
Yeah?
Depends on the bunts, yeah.
Fair enough. So that's great, man. That's great to hear you're getting all that work.
I didn't say that to brag about the work.
No, it's
I said
really it good.
It's
really
had
good.
A little boy voice, and they wouldn't let a boy advertise beer, would they?
Yes.
Oh God. No, fine. Fair enough.
No, I don't think you're a little boy, but it's you and Adam. You know, you're on your Twitters all day. You know, and you do your little jokes about
the other day.
You know, I miss the Keenies from Pogs. You know,
the Keenies.
I miss Pog. I miss Pogman.
Are you having a stroke?
You're Pogman.
I have no idea what you're talking about now.
You do tweets about Pogman.
Paul Pogba. Talking about Paul Pogba.
You're the hairy Pog man. The hairy man on the Pogs.
You're chatting absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Sure, you've lost it.
Are you fucking kidding me? You don't know what Pogman
is? I know what Pogs are. I know what Pogs are.
I'm looking up Pogman ASAP. Listeners, this is already a perplexing opening to the episode, but I'm looking up
Pogman.
Is
this Pogman. Still the opening?
No, Jesus
the opening
Christ.
Feels like 10 years ago.
Oh, Christ, he's right.
What, Pogman? Yeah, you remember Pogman?
Oh, right, that guy.
I remember that thing.
And you're saying that's me, are you?
No, I'm saying that you tweet about things like him.
That's literally the first time I've ever seen
you,
that.
All
image.
You tweet about is Ross and Rachel. Famously, you tweet about Ross and Rachel and sadness.
Yeah, exactly. Universal
and
things.
How's that going? How's that going for your Twitter audience?
Quality not quantity, man. Quality not quantity.
You got Beck as a follower.
I got this
it.
Sweet
one
bot.
Follower.
Yeah, Beck. 50 million fucking listens.
The fact that you even perceive Twitter as a young person thing now shows how out of touch you are.
Are you on Snapchat?
Young people use Twitter. Absolutely
what do young
not.
People use? Are there a new hot one?
Snapchat
apparently is dying. It's massively dying. And yeah. Facebook, because they bought Instagram, and now Instagram stories are just the same thing as Snapchat. Everyone's just doing that. So it's killing Snapchat. Facebook will become a monopoly soon.
But Facebook have also got their own version of like Instagram stories. They all just become
each
other. Yes,
Facebook have
though.
The they all become story each things. Other, and then Facebook they? Live, they're trying to make Facebook Live a big thing. I don't know. Oh, the other day I said to my flyerer, who is 17, I was just like telling a story. It was all above board. she's rightfully employed. Not by me. I said to her, oh yeah, because I put my flyer on Tom Ballard Diesel or something. And then she was saying, oh yeah, your flyer was on that yesterday. I said, yeah. And then
your listener's not going to know what the fuck you just said.
Whatever.
Put our flyer on Tom
Ballard. Somewhere. And then...
Tom Ballard Diesel.
Tom Ballard Diesel. Tom Ballard.
Like a, sounds like an area of town.
And I put it on there. And then she said, oh yeah, it was on there yesterday. I said, I know. And then he sent me a tweet saying, don't do that. And then she said, oh, sent me a tweet. I was like, what's wrong with that? She was like, obviously just say tweeted. What's wrong with you? And I was like, I'm old now.
Yeah, that's horrific.
Oh, man. The hunter becomes the hunted.
And how does that make you feel, Sean? Reece James is old.
But you can't
doesn't make me feel anything at all.
You can't be old.
I actually am convinced that you're catching up with me. I'm sure at some point you were 5 years younger than me, and now you're only 3 years.
We'll be like next Britney year Spears, she overtakes after a while.
Next year you're going to be 30.
Yeah.
And the year after that, you're going to be dead.
Hopefully.
But you can tell that you are still young because you cared about that. Like if somebody said sent a tweet, it's like, I couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was like finding a grey hair.
Yeah. No, I never had one of them.
Finding a grey hair up my ass.
Shut up, Reece.
That's a metaphor for life, isn't it?
Shut up, Reece. Please shut up.
What kind of podcast host demands 7 times that someone comes on their podcast and then 20 minutes in tells them to shut up?
Seven times. So you are probably the most flaky guest. No, the second most flaky.
Who's the most flaky?
Johnny Pelham.
Johnny Pelham.
Johnny fucking Pelham. Johnny fucking Pelham lives 10 minutes away from my house in London, has been booked in either every single episode at some point he's been scheduled to do, and he hasn't done it. God bless him. Mm. But you're second most flaky, but I knew you'd make it. Because you deep down, there's a great mutual respect for each other between me and you, isn't there, Reece?
All right. If it's going to take me saying this to get through the next however long, fine. Yeah, I very much respect you.
Great. Cool. Should we turn on the mics and start recording? Part deux. Oh, I'm not happy.
It'll get
that.
Cut. Let's just go into a conversation.
No, we'll keep going. We're all still very, very tired.
Hello.
Why are you tired, Elliot? Let's talk about it. How's your dorm going in the hostel?
Oh, it's full of idiots, full of weird oddballs, and I'm conscious of my towel, and they're all talking in the middle of the night. And there's a couple, and I heard them kissing. Yeah. There's a public space to put all your towels in the room. I'm sharing with 11 other people. My towel's got blood on it, and I feel...
Why is it
blood?
Yeah.
We need to go back
about
6 months.
Why have you got a towel with blood on it?
How did you come to own this... why have you got a towel with blood on it?
Sometimes, once a year, for 1 week, exactly 7 days, when I get out of the shower, I have a bit of a nosebleed. I'm not going to throw out a towel every year. It's just the towel I've got here.
Is it like clockwork? Every year you have a nosebleed?
Yeah. And now I can't put it up in the public.
Have you been to a doctor about that? Once a year in the shower, I have a nosebleed for a week.
It's always exactly 7 days.
And it's always exactly the same time.
I think you should go see a doctor about that.
No, sorry.
I think
at least go see like a world records book or something.
Yeah.
Get the credit you deserve.
Because your nose can tell time.
That's the state of play, isn't it?
No, my luck.
NHS in this country.
No, my luck. The guy with the clipboard will come and it'll be like 6 days. It'll just ruin it. It won't work when he comes.
That's the same as when my mum took me to the doctor's when I was a kid because I was eating so many satsumas. She thought my hands were turning yellow.
And then I got there and you were wearing gloves.
I got there and I'd just been accused of shoplifting in Saudi Arabia, so I had nothing to show.
Anyway, this towel.
Anyway, he's got a bloody towel and there's people snogging in the door.
A bloody towel. And
Sean will buy you a new towel.
You want to buy me a new towel?
Sure, want to buy you a new towel. We're using a bloody towel.
Come on, all this fringe money. All this fringe money you've got. Buy me a towel.
I'm investing that money.
Use your bucket cash.
Yeah.
My bucket cash.
Bucket cash. You must have non-stop bucket cash.
Let me tell you something.
He's got a mountain of cash in there. He's got a little Scrooge McDuck mountain of cash.
Yeah, every coin I've made this fringe, I've not put anywhere apart from on my table. So it looks bizarre.
So it's spilling out onto the floor as well.
It's like you're a poker don.
Yeah, in 1871.
I've got doubloons. Yeah. I have to say, I'm not doing financially anywhere near as well as was anticipated. Oh, well, such is life. I'll buy you a towel.
What's your bucket speech? Don't you tell the audience you'll kill them. When I saw your show on the first day, Sean, it was fine. And you kept looking at your notes and stuff. And there was a moment where you'd killed momentum so massively that you then said, any reviewers in? I'll kill you. Last year you used to go. Carmel, who was our lovely venue manager or whatever last year.
Yeah, she was one of our venue staff.
She was doing your tech, and you used to say, the two times I saw your show, you said, Carmel, put the lights up. Then you'd look at the audience and you go, laugh more, put the lights down.
Yeah, but it was, sometimes I do sometimes think, why have you come out? I did that a bit yesterday. I went, come on, guys, we're all here. And then this was after 3 minutes, but it wasn't aggressive. I just went, come on, this is good stuff that works. And then actually, the audience were like, oh, yeah. It was like they needed to be jolted awake.
Yeah.
So I
just sort of do well from the get-go, and then people have faith in me from the start.
Oh, do they? Do they?
Yeah, because they look up to me, because obviously I'm their elder.
Well, yes. You just put a big mobile in the middle of your venue, and so they just really enjoy looking up at the stars, having a little snooze. Yeah.
You always throw a sweet out, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do a bit of juggling. We're all very proud of you.
Thanks, mate.
Phil, you're in a bad mood.
Yeah, I don't know why.
We're going to try and heal these
wounds. I've moved to the rocking chair.
Yeah, Phil's now on a rocking chair, listeners. So if you're thinking, there's a bit of motion to this man's voice.
Yeah.
That's why.
To be fair, I mean, listener, we're recording this at 6 a.m. I mean, it's no surprise that we're all knackered. Yeah. We're in bad mood.
Yeah,
why did you make us do this?
I don't know.
Looking forward to the sun coming up.
Why I insisted that we did it at the top of Arthur's seat as well.
Oh, so cold.
What's up, Phil?
I don't know. I think I didn't sleep very well. And now I'm tired.
Why is
no sleep
well in this house?
Many ghosts.
This creaky haunted house.
Yeah.
This creaky bizarre house.
Yeah, screaming women in the middle of the night. Yeah.
The only thing next to you is piles and piles of Scottish coins.
Yeah. I've got Scottish coin. I go, oh yeah, but that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. Shania Twain had a point. That's all I think every night. I go, God, Shania Twain was right all these years.
Yeah.
Little children in the corner of the room crying because no one's going to see their play.
Aww. I just really worked hard on that play.
it's just a bit of a grind at this point at the Fringe.
Well,
isn't
it's the third week, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been here 3 weeks, listeners, in Edinburgh, in Scotland. Yeah.
And yesterday's show was difficult.
Was it?
Was difficult.
Why? What made it difficult?
Dumb
crowd.
Told all the jokes. But they didn't do their half of the bargain, it seemed to me.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the show, the woman I used to work with, my old boss from the job I quit to be a stand-up comedian, was in the room. And I think it's the first time she's ever seen me do comedy. So it was like this little unspoken sort of, made a kind of shit decision there, didn't you, Phil? Fucking hell type thing. But I don't think that's why I'm quite in a mood. I think I'm just tired.
Yeah, I'm tired as well. Yeah. I barely slept. I was up at 5:30 this morning.
Oh, I'm arrogant.
Why?
Party animal?
No. No, I woke up at 5:30.
Oh.
I was asleep at 12.
You can go back to sleep, though.
Well, I couldn't. I genuinely couldn't.
They start hammering at, first thing in the morning.
That's the people upstairs listening.
The upstairs builders, yeah.
Not the...
that day was not very...
Not the ghosts of Marley and Marley. I started listening to Christmas songs.
Oh, bloody hell.
I really was having a bad time. And then, as I told you earlier, Phil, I thought I'd make myself get to sleep by thinking nice thoughts.
Yeah.
So I pretended that I died. And then I thought of what everyone's Facebook status would be about me.
Do you think that's a bit really common... No, that's a common thing, isn't it?
Is that common?
I have a similar thing where if... You know when you play your most embarrassing moments in your head when you're in bed and it keeps you awake at night?
Yeah.
I have this thing I do to make myself feel better where I'll get halfway through that memory and then the person I'm talking to will be like, Elliot, are you all right? And I look down and I've been stabbed. And then...
You get your towel.
And then I die. And they're telling me how much they love me at night. And it's a comforting idea to think well, if I wasn't here, it'd be fine.
Yours doesn't seem as comforting to me.
Oh, yeah,
no, yours
fine.
Seems horrible.
So your, route,
really
your
nice.
Go-to both of you for, oh, I think, nice thoughts, is your own death.
Yeah, we are kind of.
Yeah, but it's like a very loving moment.
Sometimes I think what I would do if I was put in charge of the Fantastic Four franchise. Like, I imagine the film.
Oh, Fant Four Stick. Yeah.
And I just go, right, I'm just going to imagine what I would do. And like, imagine my story. I don't know why it just sends me to sleep. Maybe that's
stick
why
with, stick with the killing yourself one, actually, mate.
Less depressing than the Fantastic Four, definitely.
Yeah. What do you do with your when you can't sleep, Reese?
I can always sleep. I rest easy.
How do you sleep?
I play lullabies to myself on YouTube. I suck my thumb, and I'm off. it's not hard to fall asleep, is it? You just get pissed.
Well, maybe.
But you
not all of us are members of the Groucho Club.
I mean, I'm not a member. I mean, I know you said it in jest, but your thick audience won't know that.
My audience are not thick. My audience are widely regarded to be the smartest audience of any podcast in the history of the universe.
They're not thick, they're just worthless.
how many of them are there?
How many wounded?
Is that what you call them?
Yeah, they're called the wounded.
The wounded?
Yeah.
What wounds are you healing? What is this podcast? What is the premise of this podcast?
Well, it's
ask
weird,
them their middle name until they leave.
Listeners should know, actually, we've never really made this clear. It's originally meant to be a psychology podcast, but we've always cut all the psychology elements because it's always the funniest bits are with the comedians. But I don't know. It's just a podcast. I don't like the name. I was talking in the last episode about how I thought we should change the name.
What do you want to change it to?
What did I want to change it to? Sean McLaughlin's Banana Split.
that is much worse by genuinely,
if you want it to grow, don't put your name in it. Keep it something vague.
That is pathetic. Yeah. I cannot believe you're saying that.
Let people find it.
I cannot believe you're saying that. It's Sean McLaughlin. It flows off the tongue. Sean McLaughlin. Everyone knows
Sean McLaughlin's Banana Split. That's what it needs to be.
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Make the whole podcast you thinking about being dead and how everyone would react and predict how everyone in the world would react.
Or we could just react.
Yeah?
Well, alright, I'm dead. You're on Facebook. Hit me, Phil.
Oh,
what do you write?
Oh, Christ. That.
Oh, Christ. I would Snapchat you my message and you'd never get to open it.
Yeah. That is absolutely typical.
DM it. I wouldn't want people knowing that I associated with you. I'd text you saying very sorry to hear about you.
What a shameful indictment of the Instagram generation.
I wouldn't put anything about your Facebook.
Where would you write about me? Would you write a
total correspondence?
Short correspondence. Why, this man was a money-grabbing thief.
Killed by the podcast game yet again.
Wait, so you wouldn't even write a little status about me?
I'd write a little status about you. I'd put one of those nice jazzy backgrounds on it.
Orange.
Oh, yeah, when it's like a pink background. Yeah,
everyone would be doing it, so I'd have to parody it in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's times...
Sean McLaughlin was the worst man in the world, and his death didn't come soon enough. And it didn't come nearly as soon as we all expected it to, for a start.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, I would find that a great tribute. I'd go, oh, my peers are so respectful of me, they've decided to roast me in death.
The only surprise in Sean McLaughlin's death is that he took no one else with him.
In my fantasy, that's not
it's
how
it's just
I go.
Simply said he turned the gun on himself, rather than, and then he turned the gun on himself.
How would you describe me if I died, Elliot? How would you Facebook it?
I wouldn't Facebook it. Your death would definitely be the subject of my debut hour. It'd be the twist at the end, mate.
What?
I'd take people through a 50-minute journey and then a 3-minute... Oh, and Sean. His name was Sean.
Yeah. And it's about Sean Paul.
Yeah. Do you think it would reach the national news if I died?
Depends how you died.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
It really does. If you drove a car into a school, it would.
No,
get
but like
news.
Just like Sean McLaughlin dies. Do you think people go like, Comedy World in shock as gifted orator?
Definitely
perishes.
Not shock. Shock does not come into it.
Yeah,
I don't know what you mean.
Your death. There'd be no one would be surprised.
Well, it'd have to say comedian Sean McLaughlin because of the other Sean McLaughlins as well.
Who's the other Sean McLaughlin?
Well, there's a big YouTuber and there's a guy who punched a woman in Edinburgh.
Oh.
No, he didn't punch a woman. He threatened her with an axe. And to be fair, she didn't sell him Buckfast. So it's two sides of the story.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I think it would be like Comedy World Unites in tribute to greatest talent. And then there'll be a quote, greatest talent of his generation.
Who's the quote? Who's that quote from?
Greatest talent of his generation.
Wouldn't the quote mean that it's not true?
It's sarcastic.
He's a great quote.
Who are you suggesting that said that?
Someone would tweet that. They'd be nice.
The greatest comic of his generation.
No, greatest talent.
Greatest talent.
Never tapped it. Never filled it.
No, Sean, your death.
What are you looking at? Phil's just looking at the...
I was thinking you'd just read out some of your Edinburgh quotes.
No, I don't think
the best comedian you'll never hear of, I guess.
You've heard of him
now.
You
will now never hear of.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wait, but this is what puts you to sleep at night, thinking it's...
Yeah,
it's... We don't want to ruin this for you.
I'm finding it increasingly difficult to make this a relaxing experience.
So what we do...
Do you think Ricky Gervais would come and... Would he come and say something on BBC News? Tear in his eye?
Tear in his eye?
Yeah.
I mean, if he was plugging something else, they'd probably ask him one question about him.
Have you actually met him?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
What do you mean?
You've not met him. You just opened for him, and he doesn't even arrive till you've got off stage.
He loves my antics. Yeah.
What are your antics?
They're just general pratfalls around the dressing room.
Constant pratfalls.
Do you like me, Ricky? Uncle Ricky.
trying to juggle apples, and they all end up on my head. It's fun with me around. Belt off, my pants fall down.
When you first met him, did you tell him that you got 5 stars in 3 weeks?
No, he said to me, "I've heard about you from your 3 weeks review."
Yeah. What year was that you got 5?
Let's end this section.
That'd be the nice thing. Like on the news, it'd say, comedian Sean McLaughlin, 5 stars, dies.
Comedian Sean McLaughlin, 4.5 stars. That's actually an interesting point. That quote, that's probably from a few years ago. I don't know when.
Of course, you got 4 from Shortcom. That might be more recent. When was that?
Last and this year.
Oh, that's a shame.
What do you mean? What did you get?
Doesn't matter.
What did you get?
From Shortcom this year?
Yeah.
4.5.
Yes, also the age of the person who reviewed your show. Pathetic.
So now you've got an issue with the reviewers who review me, and given that it's the same person who reviewed you.
I have problems with everything.
Yeah, okay. You've never met Ricky Gervais, mate.
Okay.
You ever met Catherine Ryan or Doc Brown, who you also claim to have opened for?
I don't really like how this podcast is going. Can I make that clear? I thought we were going to have fun here.
It's editorial, isn't it? Definitely.
It's getting pretty freaky.
And they sat at opposite ends of a table.
Yeah, it seems. It's like
Joker
of a battle.
Joker and Batman.
Yeah, Reese is the Joker.
Yeah. I'm the cool one. The cool dark one that everyone wants to win and all the kids want to be.
Everyone loves the Joker. People dress up as him.
Do you have any merch, Reese?
You bet.
Nappies.
Yeah, nappies with my face on. It's actually quite disgusting. No, I don't have any merch. Although I've had 3 emails from merch companies asking me if I want to sell merch.
Are you serious?
Genuinely, yeah.
What sort of merch would it be like?
3 different merch
badges,
companies. I
pencils?
Don't know. T-shirts.
Oh, T-shirts.
T-shirts, same
one. T-shirts. With great Reese James quotes.
Brush your teeth.
Ring your mum.
I've had them and they say that, and before, what happens is my agent replies CCing me without asking me, saying I think it's a bit too soon for that. I say whoa, I've got all these ideas, what are you talking about?
Oh man,
I invented the Choose Love t-shirts. That's my merch. I get all the money from that. Everyone thinks they're helping people. The other day I met someone who might listen to this, who was wearing dungarees underneath a Choose Love t-shirt. Then it got a bit nippy. She put on a Nike Tick Corbin jumper. I thought, oh, for God's sake, you got one. This is ridiculous.
I just think you should choose love, though, in this life. I'm with her. 10 out of 10.
Disagree.
Okay. Should we have some merch, Elliot, for this?
For the podcast?
You thought of some funny merch, actually, before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should have a t-shirt with just a full picture of Sean. And he's wearing a t-shirt that says WTF on it. I think we should advertise all of the podcasts through that.
Do you think Mark Maron asks his guests to bring in milk? Barack Obama. Do you mind stopping off to get me some semi-skimmed? Some 1%.
Yeah, to our North American listeners. Some 1% we're talking about. Maybe Deansway brought in milk. I don't know. Ask him.
Oh, has he done Mark Maron's podcast?
Yeah. You haven't listened to the first 25 minutes of that podcast.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember that. Fine. I do remember that. Why has he done that? Oh, because he came and did a gig in Camden. God, you can't just get rid of this. This is just the same podcast again, but told to someone who didn't hear it. If you want to know this story, I want to know the stories from the Deansway podcast, but I can't stand his voice. Don't throw your watch down. What's that meant to represent?
Me giving up. See you soon, everyone. This is I'm fucked.
What's
I think I've absolutely fucked this episode.
Well, part three.
No.
Part three, we're gonna have loads of fun. Rest in peace, Sean, wherever you are.
Yeah, it would take 25 lifetimes. Watch all the channels that I got.
You're the worst guest we've ever had, Reese. You're the worst guest we've ever had on this podcast.
I wasn't going to be the best, so I might as well win something.
Lose something, mate. What do you mean you weren't going to be the best? Who do you think is the best guest we've ever had?
Harry Dainsworth. Harry Dainsworth's been on WTF.
What have you been on? What other podcasts? Do you get asked for podcasts a lot?
Yeah, and I say no to almost all of them, so consider this an honour.
What podcasts do you get offered, though? Is it stuff like My Little Pony podcast and stuff?
I mean, what kind of a reference is that? That's pathetic. Pogs and My Little Ponies. And nappies. Yeah. Worthless stuff.
Worthless. Unbelievable.
All the podcasts, all the big ones.
Are they really?
All the ones like...
Pleasant's podcast.
Pleasant's podcast, I did that.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR. I'm a big name at FUBAR.
Yeah.
Everyone knows me.
Good for you.
I host the Drive Time show at FUBAR. Don't know if you can get it in your car, though. Waste of time, actually. Yeah. The one about where you talk about yourself to Sophie Hagen. What's that one called again?
The one where you talk about yourself to Sophie Hagen.
Is that made of human? Makes you cry?
Made of human. Of course I've been asked to do that. I've got an interesting backstory.
Have you genuinely been? Of course not. Imagine that. Made of human with Reece James.
No.
And what makes you human? You just go, I eat a Toffee Crisp if I'm sad and then that's it.
Finally, an on-point observation about me.
I watch Match of the Day and then it's good.
Yeah, I can't do Made of Human. I've never felt sadness in my life.
Is that what that is? And you go and open your soul?
I think it's meant to be.
No, it's just kind of like deep, interesting conversations. But I mean, as we've established, I've got nothing to say.
There is nothing deep or interesting about this man.
Yeah. Keep getting reviews saying like, oh, it would be nice to see who the real Reese is.
Oh, really?
There's no such thing. That does not exist.
Does that frustrate you that people review you and they go, it'd be nice to know who this man is? And then you go, oh, maybe I'm not a man. Maybe I'm just a collection of weird faux ironic references.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying because it's like there's nothing to open up and reveal.
I just want
a guy who's going to say some jokes.
Yeah. Do you think it exposes that the stuff that you're showing on the outside clearly isn't good enough?
No, because like I guess they just have a lot of time to write notes down, reviewers, in the 20-minute standing ovations after every punchline. You know, so that's why they have so much. They can be so thoughtful about stuff.
Yeah, of course.
How many walkouts you had this Fringe?
I don't know. Not many.
I had one last night.
Yeah.
My
first proper sort of walkout.
A walkout, for listeners who aren't aware of the lingo, is when you're doing a show and people walk out of it in disgust, hunger. I mean, I've had toilet walkouts, but they don't count, do they?
Yeah, they don't count. Yeah.
I've had a few. I think I've had
You've had a few, have you?
I've had about four.
Really?
I think I've had two couples have left and then one individual.
Do you ever find out why? Like, is the door stuff, ask them and stuff.
One couple I know left.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, they used to ask.
Did they report back?
Yeah, they'd report back.
What do they say?
They always say, either we've got another show or we need to go to the toilet. Because they're never going to go, shit.
Some people would say that, actually.
I saw people walking out of other people's shows sort of being quite vocal about how shit it was. So I never want to know the answer.
You've got to stop standing outside Sean's venue.
Oh, mate. It's the only thing that keeps me going.
A guy I know called Carl told me that, and he produces Sarah Kendall's radio stuff, and he said his favourite thing to do sometimes is go to Sarah Kendall's venue at the time her show finishes and watch people coming out of it, because they come out and they just look so pensive and thoughtful about the show. But that he was just like, it's really exciting because people are really like, oh, wow. Because everyone else just comes out of a show and then immediately like looks at the phone and goes, oh, what next?
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do is go stand outside Sean's venue as it ends, watch people frothing at the mouth, wishing they hadn't put any money in the bucket.
You were there yesterday, mate. And they walked out. They were bloody lovely. Lovely. They
and then you came out with the wettest head I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because it's sweaty in there. And I'm as tall as
downtrodden man. Downtrodden man lying to me.
What was I lying?
You looked so downbeat and you're going, yeah, it was really nice. I was like, what is wrong with you? And then you opened up and said, they weren't laughing, but they were lovely. They were lovely.
No, they were laughing. They were. They just you want to get a bit more sometimes. Yeah. But what do you do? You got to play to the cunts you're dealt.
I've had two walkouts left, and they told the venue staff, we're gonna walk out of this show half an hour in because we've got to go to another show.
Oh, okay.
Well, then you can't come to this show.
Wait, so they paid for a show?
Yeah, and you cannot come to this show. You don't have time.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? You're going to miss my big finish. My big finale.
What show? What I mean, how heartbroken would you be if they said we've got to leave because we're seeing Sean McLaughlin at 6:45?
Fair enough.
Yeah, we're gonna meet our daughter at the crèche, who's staying because she's not old enough to get into your show.
I would. Well, no, if she did go to your show, she'd age about 10 years immediately, and they want to keep her young and naive. They want her to enjoy her innocence while she still can.
I hate it when I have walkouts. I don't think
it's horrible.
It's really horrible. I remember in a couple of years ago, I had a lot, especially at the beginning, because the show was just so, like, fucking intense.
Yeah.
And then there were definitely people. But the stag do who came didn't walk out, so good for them.
I want to stop them, and it's really difficult not to stop the show and go after them. I find it really difficult not to grab them, bring them back, and go, "What was it? What bit was it? What bit was it? Pissed you off so much you had to leave?"
Yeah,
but it doesn't look good.
What room are you in?
I'm in Pleasance Blue. It's a really good room.
It's quite a bad one for people walking out, though.
Oh, because I have to go right past.
They go onto the stage and then out.
Yeah.
Everybody looks around, watches them.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I haven't had that many, actually, because, like, yeah, you have to.
I think that's it. Sometimes you just feel, well, I can't get out.
Yeah.
I think it's lame to walk out of a show anyway. Unless it's massive, unless it's just someone calling you a prick for an hour.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, you made your decision.
Yeah, it's only 50 minutes, isn't it? You can sit through it.
Yeah.
Just pretend you're waiting for a train or something.
Exactly, for God's sake.
Are these all quotes for your future posters?
Yeah.
I'll take any quote. At this point, I'll take any quotes.
For God's sake, there's people over there in bloody Nairobi.
Yeah. Come to my show because there's people in Nairobi.
People in Nairobi, they'd love to come
and
see me.
Don't say that. They'll just be thinking, "Oh, I could be in Nairobi."
Yeah, that's right.
I'm in the Pleasant Below.
Listening to a man talk about his beard for the third year in a row.
Oh my word! Have you ever walked out of a show in Edinburgh? Like actually just gone, "Fuck this." Sorry, where did that come from? I'm trying to impress Reese, so I'm using.
I've been with someone who walked out of a show.
You've been with someone?
Yeah. I took a mate to see.
Okay.
You're about to say in a sexual way.
In a biblical sense. I've been with them.
I've lain with someone who once walked out.
One set of footprints walked out of that show. My friend Sam walked out of Liam Williams' show years ago.
Really?
It was so hot. He just arrived in Edinburgh and it was at like 11 p.m. and he was just desperate to party. And I said, "Come and watch Liam Williams talk about socialism." We went, and it was a brilliant show. It was so good. But it was the hottest experience of everyone's life. Yeah. And then he just said, "I've got to get out of this room." And he left.
Yeah.
And I stayed there and watched till the end. As Liam repeatedly said, "No more threes. No more three-star reviews. No more threes." And then I watched Bruce Dessau writing notes. And then he gave him a three the next day. Don't bait the Bruce. Dessau will take the bait.
You have Dessau in? You've had Dessau in? Don't say a number during a show, because that's the only one Dessau will remember. Six. Just go six, 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 six.
Oh, 666 again, Sean. Banging about the devil. Jesus Christ.
Oh, and a callback, and now I can end this charade and go to bed. Plugs? Reese has got a lot of plug, hasn't he?
I'm not plugging anything, mate.
He's
not plugging
his merch.
I don't want these. Not these people coming to see me.
They're good people.
Wounded little worms coming
they're
to watch
wounded,
me.
And they're proud. Your show is called Wise Boy.
Yeah.
What's all that about?
Well, Michael Parkinson. It's I don't know, mate.
It's Sean McLaughlin.
It was called that because my shtick is real wise guy. Wise guy shtick.
Is that your? What do you mean your shtick?
All the other shows were called. They were called Begins, Remains, Forgives. It was always a verb.
Oh, okay.
And I thought I need to trick people into thinking, oh, he's moved on. He's upped it.
So I
just did a slightly different poster and called it a non-verb.
Wise boy.
I called it wise boy. My shtick is wise guy shtick.
I don't think it is wise guy.
Yeah,
shtick.
But it was.
You're
it's not
a,
actually
you're
not,
a not
gangster, this year.
Though, are you?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I didn't call it, because people think. Wise guy sounds like either a gangster or it sounds like a 40-year-old guy on the free fringe who's holding a mic in his poster going, eee, like that.
Yeah.
I'm a wise guy.
Yeah, I'm a real wise guy.
Yeah.
And as you've pointed out, I'm a little boy. So I just call it wise boy, and that could be my new brand.
Yeah. You're a wise
turns
boy.
Turns out everyone universally loathes it. But I do address that in the show, actually, Sean.
What do you talk about?
What do I talk about? I have an audio thing before my show starts with my parents saying stuff. And one of the things my dad constantly says is...
You're adopted.
You haven't called your show Wise Boy, have you? He just says that. I interviewed them. I did an interview with them.
Did you?
Yeah.
For a podcast?
No, for...
You're doing a podcast with your parents?
For a Radio 4 show.
Oh, fuck. that one really hurt, listener. I have to say, of all the things said to
Sean
me,
just evaporated as I said that.
A Radio 4 show.
Yeah,
cool. I'm not up to Radio 4 yet.
No, well, that's exactly. So some people make their own things. Actually, this production's better than when we interviewed my parents. They had to share a mic.
Yeah,
awful stuff.
Yeah, we've each got a mic.
We've got donuts.
Yeah.
I provided the mics and the donuts.
Yeah. Got a tablecloth.
Absolutely.
Five stars.
Let me tell you actually something, everyone, listeners, and I'm glad actually you're all here for this. Elliot has apparently been telling people that the equipment which I paid for isn't mine.
No.
Even though I paid for this equipment, but it now has emerged that maybe I didn't pay for this equipment. Did you get this equipment for free, Elliot?
That was the lie I told you, was that I got it for free.
You fucking son of a bitch. Make me feel guilty now.
What's going on? Have you stolen money off a poor man? You've stolen money from the homeless.
Stolen money from an infant, from his first communion.
There's a lie did you know it was a lie as soon as I told you? Okay, what happened?
You seem very nervous. Your nose is bleeding.
I'm just... Right. I've just been living with this. This is why I don't sleep. So we bought some equipment to start with. And as listeners may remember, there was a first episode that didn't work for tech reasons because the equipment wasn't great.
We all know it wasn't tech reasons.
And also because Sean got bullied slightly too much by Adam and Mark, right?
Couple of bullies. Don't see their show.
But there was then the point where I didn't want... It was a point when you weren't super confident in the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to drop this out because of an error I made in the equipment side.
Yeah.
So I sold the equipment on eBay because a couple of weeks ago you might have remembered we talked about stuff I sold on eBay.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you were selling that you wouldn't tell me?
Yeah, so then what happened is I bought equipment that was twice as expensive and then that money, so the money you put into it is equal to the money I've put into it, but up to this point I've told you that you own all this and that you paid for all of it. But really, we've gone half and half.
So you never befriended a DJ and got his equipment?
I have befriended a DJ and I talked to him about equipment, but the kernel of truth within that lie is that he was involved in this in any way. Because I didn't want you to lose faith in this because of a mistake I made. So it was me trying to fix it.
How many microphones does Trevor Nelson own on this podcast?
How many hand jobs do I have to give Fatboy Slim for this?
Also, I own that milk. I bought that milk. That's my
milk. You can fucking have all the milk.
I don't want it. Yeah. I just want you to be in debt to me.
Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap this up.
Sean.
We'll wrap this up.
Can Sean drink one whole bottle of that milk to finish the podcast?
Yeah. No. Come on, get
it'll
the milk
wake
down
him up. It'll keep him up, won't it? Wake
keep
him up.
Keep me up.
Yeah.
What, a bottle of milk?
Oh, no. It'll send you to sleep, won't it?
Make bones all strong.
Yeah. Let's give Sean a bone. Let's give him a good bone.
Make your arse all goofy.
Oh, shut up. You're the worst guest. This is the worst combination we've ever had.
Drink the milk.
Bill's been all right, but I have to live with him, so I can't tell him what I really think of him. Elliot's been fucking lippy.
This is not the worst guest.
You're the worst guest we've ever
had. Why? Why?
Because you're just lippy for the op. You were so
lippy. Wise boy.
Even yesterday,
that's what it's all been about.
Even yesterday, you were like, oh, I don't want to do this podcast. Like, even when I was looking through the message of me going, hey, man, do you want to come do the podcast on Thursday? And you just, in capitals, was like, oh, fine.
I'm a teenager. Yeah, you know, I'm going through changes.
Yeah, well.
My body's changing. I'm getting to know it.
the only part of your body you should get...
Oh, no. Oh, mate.
What? No, end it.
How dare you criticise me as a guest when your hosting has been absolutely appalling.
How are you this eloquent when you're this tired? I'm so fucking tired. I was listening to the fucking Phil Spector Christmas album at 6 a.m. I've gone high.
But no, you didn't have to do that.
I had to.
Yeah, why?
It's bad luck to listen to Christmas songs out of season.
Yeah.
And that
especially
is why I've come
Phil
here.
Spector.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good man. Anyway, what are we plugging? Fuck it. What are you plugging? You're doing your show, Wise Gay, everywhere.
You think that's acceptable to say, is it?
Yeah, I don't care anymore.
Anymore? You've cared this whole show. It's you about... caring, is it?
You've been calling me a fudge packer because that story I told about putting fudge in my bag. Off mic, you keep calling me fudge packer. What are you doing after the fringe reach?
Oh, I'm going to bed. I'm moving in with Sean.
Yeah,
we're hitting the road. We're getting a caravan.
I'm legitimately getting thrown out of my flat at the end of September.
Do you want somewhere to live?
Yeah.
Well, we'll kick our third housemate out. You can come live with me and Adam. Sure, that'll be fun for you.
Fucking hell. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It'd be like getting waterboarded every day.
Gotta say, he does change a lot. He changes a lot around you, but he also changes a lot around Mark.
Yeah.
The use of the word cuck increased an enormous amount when Mark arrived. Just come and see me. I got nothing to plug.
What are you talking about? You said you're doing your show in London.
Yeah, I don't know when though.
Are you touring it?
Probably do it in February. Normally do it in February. Look out for that. Nice. Who's going to remember that?
Nice. Guys, mark it down.
Put it in the diary. Pencil it in.
Yeah. Valentine's, all of February. Valentine's night.
I am recording.
Spend it with a little infant boy. Who's being forced to take medication to keep him young, like Judy Garland. Your life is a showbiz tragedy, Rhys.
Okay. Also, I am recording the stand-up for the Radio 4 show in September. Come to that.
Yeah, where's that?
Radio Theatre, the prestigious London Inc.
Congratulations. Phil, anything to plug?
Absolutely nothing. I'll be poncing around the country in the low-grade stand-up comedy clubs talking about beards and being fat.
That's fine by me, mate. But you're losing weight.
Cheers, brother. I'm miserable at losing weight. And those donuts in front of me have been an absolute killer.
Is that why you're depressed? Is because there's donuts here and you don't feel you can eat them?
I don't know if that's... I would have to be quite a small man for that to be...
Are you on a strict diet?
I'm not eating any sugar or any carbohydrates. I am drinking a lot.
Right.
Let's get in there. Fair enough. Elliot, anything to plug?
I'm going to be getting drunk everywhere from, I think, September 7th onwards to around Christmas. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
All over. A lot of dates in London.
Yeah.
Just on the streets. Mostly on my own, but there's some kind of split bills where I might get drunk with someone else, but I don't know yet.
Cool.
Yeah.
Teen Angel podcast as well.
Oh yeah, I'm doing a Teen Angel podcast, and that's legit.
You actually doing that podcast?
Yeah, it's entirely for me. What you got post Fringe, Sean?
Nothing. I don't. Nothing. Let's just end this.
Oh my sweet baby, we got nothing. You can't.
What do you mean?
I just don't want you to end on a sad note.
It's happened. You book Trollope. You feel like shit. You get Trollope.
You
on the show.
Felt like shit long before I was even born.
What are you talking about? Long before, so when I was one, I had a happy one.
I had a happy one year.
All downhill from there.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what I'm doing afterwards. When is this coming out?
You're touring this show, surely?
No. No, I'm not touring it. I'm not going to tour it. I'm just going to be back on the clubs at this point, I think, when this comes out.
Nice.
Back in the clubs, doing some more dates and certain things, and writing the new one. Right, next year we'll get it right. Next year we get it right.
Yep.
That should be the title of it next year.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on your Friends Reunited page for Sean dates and your Snapchat page for Reese dates.
And I just send out letters.
You'd fax them out, page them out. Yeah.
Look out for the FedEx guy for Phil's dates. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. We've got a bit of an outro coming. This has been nuts. But thanks a lot for being a guest, Reese.
Thank you.
Really honoured.
I feel so welcome. That's all that's left of our love. Ticket stub. That's all that's left of our love.
Well, that was it, guys. I don't know if anyone of us enjoyed it. I hope the listeners enjoyed it. It was great. Really appreciate Reese coming on the show. Really appreciate him bringing two fucking bulldogs who have somehow learned English and taken a disliking to me with him.
But do re-listen to that episode.
And imagine that coming in your kitchen.
Bowling in your kitchen.
Reese is a great comedian. Do check him out though. God, lovely man as well. They all are. That's good. But we all got friends.
Yeah.
What's the thing? We're all friends. We're all buddies.
We've all got friends.
How are you, Elliot?
I'm still very well, thank you.
We're still in this great Scottish wonderland.
Certainly are. We're taking on a work experience.
In the form of Phil Gerrard.
Hi. Want a tea?
Can I look at what you're doing? Did you ever do proper work experience? Like in year 10, did you do a week work experience?
I worked at a school.
Was it at your school?
I worked at the junior school.
How was that?
It was great.
Why are you talking like that?
I'm not.
How was that?
It was weird because I saw all the teachers that used to teach me talking about kids. And one of them was making fun of a disabled kid.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And two that were married and now not married, but still both working. It's like Waterloo Road.
I did work experience. I did work experience at Gardener's World, which I'll come on to. I went back to the school afterwards to do like helping out. You know what I mean? Like in classes and stuff.
Yeah, like listen to them read and shit.
Yeah. And it's wicked that you start to see them as like as human beings. Like you go and you go, oh right, they hate the same teachers that we used to hate. Like there was a teacher at my school.
Yeah.
That everybody hated. Like all the kids hated him. When I went back to talk to the teachers, their nickname for him was the twat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did
Gardener's World.
Gardener's World, man. Yeah. In the office of Gardener's World. And about halfway through, it was back in the days when everything was on Betamax tapes. And then they put me in a room on my own with a stack of Betamax tapes and told me that in order to record Gardener's World, to actually physically film the show, all of these tapes needed to have a black signal recorded on them. So they locked me in a room with a VCR with a black signal. I just pressed record and waited for 3 hours for it to... That was what my work experience
was. That's great. I worked at a fancy dress shop for a week.
I bet that was magical. Was it like Mr. Ben and you went on different adventures?
No, it was really shit. It was really shit. I hated it. I didn't get on with any of the people there. I didn't like them. I don't know. It was alright, I guess. I just didn't like it. It wasn't fun. Because also, you just basically... I had to actually properly work. And all my friends were like doing like... nursery, and they go after 2 hours. I go, you can just fucking go.
Yeah,
so basically, just a week off for most people. But I chose the one where you actually have to work. But then I ended up working in actually working in a different fancy dress shop when I was in sixth form.
Yeah,
that was awful as well.
Did you ever get people coming in thinking that you were selling fancy dresses?
Wow,
I'm really glad that you're on board now, Phil. Really
in
glad.
In Brighton, there's a fancy dress shop, and for a little while, they put a sign on the window saying, "This is not a pawn shop. Please stop asking."
Really?
No idea who is making that. Who is getting that distinction wrong?
Well, no, but they are grubby. Yeah. I will say that they are grubby. Yeah. Like at this place, the place I went to, oh fuck it, I'll say it, Masquerade Fancy Dress Shop in Brighton. But they would say things to me like, "This was true." They would just say, "Look, when we get the wigs back, that we don't wash the wigs. That we just take the fag ends out and we spray it with." Spray it with links.
Oh, Jesus.
Fucking grim. As a 15-year-old expecting a magical week.
Not even right. Febreze.
Cool. Cool, dude. And then I worked in one in Shoreham. Have I talked about this on the podcast?
No.
Sure, Shoreham by Sea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked there for a year. And the woman, the person who owned the fancy dress shop, I was her only employee. But she was clearly having a kind of collapse in her life because the shop was only open when I opened it. The shop was not open in the week. The shop was only open when I opened it.
When you could be bothered to go.
And I worked on a Saturday. So, and occasionally on a Wednesday evening, I'd do a shift.
Wow,
man. And I was 17 and there was never any money in the till. And I only got paid if we made enough money. And you'd have people coming in, go, I've been coming here all week. I want to get my deposit back on my outfit. And I'd go, I've got no money.
Shit.
And
And she was going through some stuff. Well, was she walking around in a pretend bridal gown or something? Like, what was...
Yeah, we didn't have that. She was just walking around in a bag purse. She,
That sounds dirty.
Is that
a bag purse?
Just walking around in a bag bus.
No,
worst job you've ever had.
No, because for a lot of that, I was just kind of left alone.
Yeah,
Retail when you're in a kind of quiet shop in a quiet town, you're just sort of left alone.
You standing alone with a Scooby Doo hat on.
Yeah. And there were times where I was genuinely able to help people out.
Yeah, you really helped people, Sean.
Yeah, I really,
you were really, really changing lives.
But like,
I gave that guy a clown costume when he didn't have one.
Now he's going to go and murder some people, and it's going to affect the world.
Yeah. The spirit of Adam and Mark is running through your veins.
You dweeb,
dweebo, come on, shit.
What is your what's your worst job?
One of my call center shifts, definitely.
Oh yeah.
I worked numerous call centers.
I worked in a well-known call center, it was so awful.
Is it the one from the TV show, The Call Center?
This is not that. No.
Okay. I don't know how it could be well-known.
I don't know if this is even libelous, but it's one I work for.
Fuck!
Oh my god.
What? They're one of our biggest sponsors.
Oh, shit. They were great.
I'm joking. They're not. They're actually, we pay the money to not be sponsored.
Yeah.
Fuck you, there, I said it.
No, you know what? It's all right, but what a piece of shit.
And I can't tell the story I was going to tell, can I? Because, like, we're probably properly litigious, aren't they, I should imagine.
Are they?
I imagine so.
You think they're litigious? I think it would take a lot for anyone involved in the legal team of all to be listening to this good episode point. Of Heal Your Wounds.
So I worked for one and I resigned because it was so awful and I brought in
you,
my...
You resigned?
I resigned, yeah.
I think you quit.
No, I resigned. No,
you can't
I resigned.
Resign.
This
you?
Is what they told me. So I resigned. I wrote a resignation letter, right? And I brought it in.
From a call centre job.
Right? Because I'm a professional, right?
Yeah.
I walked in and I gave the resignation letter to my boss, right? And he took it and he was really surprised and he read it and he was like, all right, so you're leaving. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, why are you so surprised? And he said, usually people stand up, throw their headsets on the floor and walk out. That is the usual procedure.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt pretty good.
That's all my call centre jobs I've quit. Mm. My first one I was fired at. That was my first job. I was 17 for that. That was before the
fancy dress.
I was after school. No, I was maybe even 16. After school, we'd go and do some shifts and they fired us. After a while, but we'd already made some. I've never had as much disposable income in my life as I did when I was that age.
Yeah.
But it was a con as well. The whole thing was a con.
How did you quit the fancy dress shop?
I didn't. It went out of business. I texted Sandy, the boss, whose surname I never found out. I said, hey, you know the 150 quid I'm owed? Can I get it this Saturday? And then she texted back going, the shop is out of business. I never heard from her again. But yeah, I've always just quit by just stopped turning up to call centre jobs.
They're awful. They're the worst jobs.
I always was outbound. Always outbound, always cold calling.
Mm. But I was always inbound, which was terrible because it was just pissed people. Just pissed people shouting at you. Well, and some psychopaths. One man rang me and told me he was going to flay the meat from my bones.
Oh, Jesus, words.
Just kept on saying it. But the thing is, you there was no hang up button. I think you were only allowed to hang up if they swore. I think if they swore, you could hang up. But I don't remember there being a maybe one wasn't that one. But usually that's the only thing. So they could say anything else, and you would just have to stay on the call.
so they could just be like, "I'm going to rip the skull from your neck," and you're just like, "Okay," and they'd be like, "And I'll be I'll." Look at your bloody cut. Oh, bloody.
Yeah. Do you want me to look at knife shops in the area? Yeah. Bin bags? I could try and find you a place to find bin bags and rope if that's what you need.
Oh, my home address. Yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, you haven't said shit. So, yeah.
What's the worst job you've ever had, Elliot?
I've had some jobs, but retrospectively, I've enjoyed all of them except the most recent one, except the one I just lost.
Was that the lemonade stand or was it the pretend vets? with your plastic money.
My paper round.
Sorry, I just like doing that.
No, it is. We're all having fun.
Yeah.
What was your most recent? Are you allowed to talk about your most recent job?
I can talk about it now because I got a better one.
Yes.
High five.
Can I say this? I did trials to get in MI. Something I think did it was you? 5 or 6. Yeah.
What I did as well. Where did you get up to?
Wait, you both had trials for MI5.
Well, not trial. I filled out the stuff. I did the thing. Didn't get anywhere further. Than
you
that.
Would be a terrible secret agent.
I went in for one thing. I had one test, and they had a background check, and I think I passed the test.
Yeah.
So there's something in my background that they don't like.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah.
Maybe what it's the fact that you were probably 4 years old when you applied.
What did the test entail?
It was. Oh, shit. It was just like reasoning.
Yeah.
Was the one I did. And I know it did great because I'm a genius.
Yeah. That's all. A friend of mine from university.
It felt so cool.
After we left Cardiff Uni, he answered an ad in a newspaper for an analyst or something like that. Some sort of very, very broad job title. And he went for an interview in the Barbican, right? And it was just in a hotel room in the Barbican, I think. And they brought him in. It was a man sat behind a desk. And they said hello. And they sat him down. And then just showed him different coloured cards and asked him which colours spoke to him.
Oh, my God.
And he never heard anything back from him whatsoever.
Fuck. What is that? What is that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a prank because it would drive you insane, wouldn't it? It
could just be a prank.
Talk about your shit job then, Elliot. Talk about your shit crap job that you just went, fuck you, to the man.
It was working marketing for alternative health products.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, and they were rubbish. And the marketing and what we did was like rubbish. But the main issue was that it was quite morally against what I was all about. because it's really about like tricking old people and like vulnerable people into spending money on stuff that wouldn't work and saying how stupid doctors were. And there was one thing we did. The thing that kind of really wore me down is that we sent, we had a lot of subscriptions and we sent letters out to people going like, so that would normally say, oh, it's time to renew your subscription. But these ones looked like invoices.
Yeah.
So then old people and stupid people would see it and think they already owed us money and they'd just pay.
Oh,
and then the families would be like, what the hell are you doing? And we were like, and like, we had to justify and be like, it's legal. And it's literally, it kept me up at night. I used to hate that is it so awful. Much.
S-O-B.
Yeah.
Elliot Fallows. I mean, we always suspected that you were a kind man.
But we
had no idea you were such a worm underneath.
The number of purposeful mistakes I would make at that job and get stuff wrong. And like, I used to send emails out with links to shit in.
Yeah.
I'd often send them without the links. Like, I just hated it. And I was trying to be like, I don't want to do this.
What a hero. He didn't even send the links. No, he didn't even send the links.
But it meant
Mother
like,
Teresa resurrected over here.
But I was they came for me.
I was at the bottom of the chain there, but it meant that... Yeah. I was going like, you made no money today, and that's because of me.
Yeah. The bottom of the chain is always the link that if you break that, you've destroyed the chain.
I used to have a job in a bank, debt collecting.
I've done debt collecting, what's your...
But not much fun for a podcast, I agree.
Hey, I think
interesting chat, mate. We're healing your past wounds.
Yeah,
doing. That title does not sit well with me. Charity fundraising was the worst. The worst of the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking hell. You try calling up a woman with cancer and trying to give her... Trying to make her care about the plight of the mule.
What, right now?
Yes, that's how we're going to end. That's the new regular feature.
Once worked in a dog food warehouse.
Oh, right? My... Oh,
a lot of big sacks of dog food. And then one day, I moved a sack of dog food and underneath it was a little family of mice, like newly born mice.
Oh.
And my boss came over with a shovel and smacked him and killed him in one blow. Smacked him! Smacked him! Killed him in one go!
Okay.
Could there be more mice within the dog food bags?
I hope you've enjoyed the episodes. We've got great guests on the next, our final Edinburgh special. Elliot, Phil, farewell.
Fare thee well. Heal Your Wounds was presented by Sean McLaughlin. It was produced by Elliot Fallows, hosted by Audio Boom, and all music was by The Speckles. You can follow us on Twitter @WoundsPod.